Welcome everyone to the meeting, 13th of May 2025. I'll go through the live stream again. So in accordance with the Council Meetings Administration Policy, this meeting will be recorded and live streamed to the general public. The recording will remain available to the public for 6 months. If you'd like to leave prior to the live streaming, please do so now. If you have any questions, please contact the Governance Department. So safety announcements, evacuation details and information are located on the wall near the entry to the chamber. In an emergency, an alarm will sound. Wardens will assist with your evacuation from the building. If directed, please evacuate in a calm and orderly manner via the reception area. Go directly to the evacuation point in the car park beside the town hall. Please turn your phones off if you haven't done so already, or to mute, please. Are the audio video recordings on?
I believe so, yep.
I now declare the meeting open at 3:09 PM. And just to reinforce what I said out there before, for the benefit of the councillors, so due to the anticipated large number of people attending our council meeting today, we've made provisions to accommodate everyone. This will mean a few changes to our normal processes. We've done this to make sure everyone has a chance to participate in the meeting. Public question time is for questions only. Debate or discussion about questions or answers is not permitted. A limit of 2 questions per person applies. A three-minute limit per person will apply, and I do have a trusty counter in front of me, which is brand new today, so it gets christened today. So for the planning application for 328 340 Porters Bridge Road, Brady's Marsh, representatives wishing to make a statement, we need to notify Anthony Linder, which I'm sure you've been told that in the supper room. A limit time of 3 minutes per person will apply. Please try and be, we'll stick as good as we can to the timelines. And as previously stated, the State Government's Environment Protection Authority, TAS, and the EPA are the regulatory body responsible for the assessment of matters including air quality, water quality, noise emissions, natural values, weed and disease management, waste management, dangerous goods and environmentally hazardous substances, decommissioning and rehabilitation. Council is not the regulatory body for these aspects of that particular planning item. So, apologies. We have no apologies. That's good. Moving over the page again, I go to acknowledgement of country. I begin today by acknowledging the Palitor and Panihia past peoples, the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather today, and I pay my respects to elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. I'm now looking for a confirmation of the minutes, which is on page 7 of the last meeting of the 8th of April. Somebody, Councillor Loader, thank you. Seconder. Councillor House, any discussions, councillors? If not, I put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest from councillors, General Manager?
Yes, there are, Mayor. We have two. We have one from yourself for item 12.1 and one from Councillor Smedley for item 15.1 today.
Thank you. Moving over to the Councillor Workshop Report, which is on page 8. Reports included in the agenda. Then move along to Mayor and Councillor Reports, which is on page 10. I'd just like to take the opportunity to pass on the condolences from Council and myself for the previous Councillor Jenny Dornoff, and she was also a Deputy Mayor, and she put a lot of time and effort into the Meander Valley, and it's certainly sad to hear of her passing, and she certainly was a mentor to a few of us here today. I don't have any other announcements. Any other announcements? Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor. Along with what I have in the agenda, I also attended the Blackstone Heights Community News Group, along with Councillors Sinfield and House. I attended the Australian Local Government Women's Association Women in Leadership Breaking Down Barriers webinar, which was absolutely fantastic, and I would commend these webinars to Councillor Cameron and Councillor Christine Cronshaw. Sorry, Christine, I just had a breakdown. Apologies. And I also attended the very successful Launceston City FC Female Football Week celebration. That was amazing, 42 years of women in football. It was a great celebration, so good to see a lot of purple out there, as well as the black and white and women participating in sport. There's nothing women can't do. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Lowe. Any other announcements, Councillors? Councillor Sidfield.
Oh, just to add, apologies for being under the weather, everyone. I did attend the Northern Tasmanian Regional Land Use Strategy, Regional Strategic Directions Local Government Workshop on the 7th of May last week.
Thank you, Councillor. Anything else, Councillors? Take it as no. Moving on to page 11. No petitions were received for this meeting. Are there any from the gallery? I'll take that as no. Any representations? There were no community representation requests were received for this meeting. Moving on to page 13. Excuse me while I get my where I need to be. Page 13, which is public questions with notice. There were questions from two people which were included in the agenda and responded to. Public questions without notice. So we'll move on to public questions without notice. So Council allocates at least 15 minutes for our meeting for public questions without notice, and this may be extended at my discretion. Debate or discussion about questions or answers not permitted. A limit of 2 questions per person. 3-minute limit applies. So are there any questions from the gallery?
Yeah, so Craig will coordinate that.
So, yep, questions without notice. One at the back.
My name's Brian Adams and I'm from Red Mars. The cost of the Porter's Bridge Road upgrade will be determined proportionally so that the proponent for this proposal can pay their share. There are 3 other private companies with heavy vehicles who will also use the same infrastructure. Will they each be required to proportionally contribute to that same road upgrade? Since these 4 private companies are collectively responsible for 100% of the reason that the upgrades are necessary, would it not be reasonable that they proportionally incur 100% of the associated cost of those upgrades? So my question is, will Council undertake to have these proposed road upgrades 100% funded and maintained by the private companies who stand to profit from their implementation and thus relieving Council and ratepayers of any contribution at all?
Thanks, Robin.
Yep, I can start making a response to that. There may be others that will contribute also. So with the road upgrades that are required for the developments, we can only... Sorry, give me a bit of feedback there. We can only assess the planning application that's before us today. So we are making an assessment for the one on Porter's Bridge Road that we're discussing. So,
my new time, I'm trying to work it out there. Sorry about that.
Yeah. The road upgrades that we're expecting to be required associated with this particular application, there will be the majority of the cost of those upgrades required for the development to be met by the developer. I guess that's where we sit. There will be some associated work that we believe Council will contribute towards, which will be the minority of those, which are either peripheral to the required upgrades or existing issues that exist. An example being the vegetation of 4 trees that are quite close to the road seal that have been identified by a traffic engineer, and also signage as well. So there will be a smaller amount of works that Council will be contributing to, and for the assessment that we'll be discussing today, the majority of the required upgrades are expected to be met by the developer. However, there may be others that the Director of Infrastructure Works perhaps contribute. If we're satisfied with that, that's the response.
All right. Those ones, right, okay. Next question, please.
Hi, Linda Wassel from Unimart. So I know that you wouldn't have figures yet, but could you give us a ballpark figure what this would cost ABS? Are we thinking tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions?
That's correct. We don't have a cost, and that won't have a bearing on the decision that's being made today. I guess you have our assurance and the condition of impairment is that the majority of the cost of the required upgrades will be met by the developer, but we won't state a dollar value wise at the moment.
And the other question, if council undertakes to upgrade the road, would council still be subject to the EPBC or other environmental laws, especially regarding the wedge-tailed eagle nests and endangered flora like the eucalyptus albata?
Council will be required to satisfy any of the conditions that it would do for any other road reconstruction job that exists within the community. So we don't believe at this point that it's going to require a planning application, but if it did, it may extend to the requirements you're discussing. At this point in time, we don't believe that a planning application would be required for the road upgrade works, and it'll be managed the same as any other road construction job that council would undertake or manage. So,
thank you, Linda. Any other questions for the gallery?
Hi, Debbie Owens from Deloraine. My question is in relation to the vote that will be held today for the ABS books like mine. I have been following all the council meetings since July last year and get the feeling after listening to responses to public questions and questions on notice that the council can only consider matters relating specifically to the planning application when considering the approval of this project. Unfortunately, the Meander Valley Planning Department has recommended the application be approved. Now, there's a standard first paragraph in their recommendation that I've seen in other planning documents as well, and it states, I quote, "Council must note the qualified advice received before making any decision, then ensure that reasons for its decision are based on the planning scheme. Reasons for the decisions are also published in the minutes," end quote. This reinforces to me that council members are required or expected to vote in line with the planning department's recommendation. Where is the community representation in this whole process? What is the point of this council if community concerns are not addressed as part of the planning department's assessment? The purpose of this council is to represent the Meander Valley community. A mine is not wanted in the valley. It is not in the best interest of this community and it does not align with your council's 10-year strategic plan. My question is, and I would like a yes or no response, in the matter of the proposed ABS bauxite mine, are council members able to cast a heartfelt conscience vote that reflects the wishes of the Meander Valley, yes or no?
You've raised a quandary that we all sit here as councillors. We come elected to represent the people of our community, we all do that, and then we sit here as a planning authority. And planning authority has very strict guidelines across the state as to what we can and can't consider. That is a quandary for us. If we didn't have the planning, if we didn't have the hat on as a planning authority, excuse me, this alarm's going to go off and that's my fault, then we would be able to do exactly what you're asking us to do. But at the moment, we sit here as a planning authority.
So is the response to that no?
It's up to each individual council to make that decision sitting around the table, and I won't answer for those.
If the question is, because you just had two questions, so if the question is it a conscience vote? No, it's not. It's our councillors acting in their role as a planning authority to form a decision that's legally compliant and binding with the requirements of that legislation.
I've done both my questions in a
moment. Thank you. Any other questions from the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Dr. Helen Hutchinson, Western Creek. As the basis for removing planning from their jurisdiction and establishing a new independent assessment panel, there's been a lot of criticism directed at Tasmanian Council's seeming incapacity to deal with complex planning proposals. In fact, the problem is not created by councils. The problem is that neither the outdated state planning legislation from 1993, which is presently operating, nor the proposed strata planning legislation has addressed the problems that new developments are raising in the community. the legislation should require an acknowledgement of and evidence of the necessity for the project, a social licence for any development from neighbours and community, not less than 30 days allowed for community representations, the recognition of impacts on existing heritage values, that where applicable, council policies determine the acceptability of the project, proof of the financial viability of the project and the proponent's capacity to manage it, a requirement that the proponent lodge an amount equivalent to the remediation costs with the planning authority at the beginning of the project, as well as any other predictable costs associated with it, and the requirement that no project increases greenhouse gas emissions, and that the precedence given to mining leases over any land zoning be removed. But the legislation does not. On behalf of the council, Mr. Mayor, will you write to the appropriate minister asking that the amendments described above be made to the draft Land Planning and Approvals Act 2025 so that planning decisions are addressing the real concerns of community?
I will happily take that to a workshop, Helen, where we will discuss it in more depth. It's hard for me to give you a quantitative answer on behalf of my councillors here, but definitely take that, agree with most of what you said.
Thank you. Do I have time for another short question?
Yeah, I haven't started the timer, so yeah.
Oh, good. So
we
have 3 minutes. So ongoing research has highlighted the damage that heavy trucks do to our road. The fall of power law is still used by road engineers to assess the amount of pavement damage caused by vehicles with different axle weights. In the case of a loaded SUV that weighs 2 tonnes, each axle carries approximately 1 tonne. A typically loaded B double heavy truck combination weighs 65 tonnes and each axle averages approximately 7 tonnes. It gets much worse when you consider that the passage of a car over a certain piece of pavement involves only 2 axles, where a B double has 9. So the real world effect is 10,804 times more damage in the case of a B double. How can council allow even more trucks to use our roads when they already cause massive damage without paying the real cost of using them?
That's a very simple analogy of the amount of weight that goes onto an axle. I guess if we were to look at the diverse industries that are across the municipality, we have to look at our agricultural industry, as well as for those trying to get their crops out. And I guess we look at our milk industry, our milk tankers and so forth. So I guess if you're wanting less axles on the road, how do we actually get our product out to market? That's my response. So question to a question, that's my response. Yep.
And just there are many other ways that the impact of heavy vehicles are mitigated throughout the municipality. I guess from a council perspective, we have roads that we are the road authority. We own and maintain the roads. We have many asset management techniques that we adopt over time to make sure that the safe road environment is maintained. For heavy vehicles, they also have the NHVR program that they need to request the routes and have approval for. So there are other ways that government, both state and local, are sort of managing heavy vehicle movement throughout the state.
Thanks, Helen.
Thank you.
The next person's not so lucky when I start this one. Any other questions?
Rachel Barley from Golden Valley. Now, given the information provided by members of the public today and the information that's been provided by yourself, Mayor, and the officials present that has not, to my knowledge, been previously available for public comment, and the very high level of public concern expressed today by the members of the public, both in this room and Jason Hall, could Council please postpone its decision on the ABX mine application to allow for further consideration and genuine public consultation
to allow it to identify conditions that better address the community's concerns.
So I can answer if you like. Yes, there actually have been extensions to this point in time. So the applicant has provided extensions of time to get us to today's decision that we're hoping to make. I guess ultimately the councillors will make that decision or not this afternoon. So no, there isn't. I mean, there has been other opportunities where information relating to the applicant's planning application has been made public, and they stem back to 2023. So their information has been publicly available on the EPA's website in the EPA's assessment, and then council advertised the planning application in June 2024. So there have been other opportunities where much of the information in today's agenda has been made public. I do appreciate that the concerns of each representative hasn't been made public before today. So, but our planning team has made an assessment and addressed that in today's agenda, so that all of those 86 opinions have been publicly shared and considered by our planning team, making a recommendation to council. And yeah, we hope that council will form a decision today for that application.
Thanks, Rachel.
It was for me, Mark. On page 26 of the documentation for the agenda, it's got the part five conditions, and in 1A it says that there's a one-off infrastructure contribution be payable prior to the design and construction work taking place. And then in 2C, it says that the payment for the design work must be made first, and there's no mention there of the infrastructure contribution. So my question is, how is a one-off infrastructure contribution going to be determined before the design project design? So in other words, how can they make a payment if the design isn't?
So thanks for your question, Lee. I think I understand what you're asking there. So the part five, like the section 71 agreement under the LIPA legislation, can be framed in a whole range of different ways. So it may be percentage-based with a maximum cap. So there are other ways other than stating the dollar value in the part-five agreement. Or it may come with different conditions, as in that the contribution relative to the design be paid, and then a hold point before the dollar value determined. So there are many ways that can be constructed, but I guess the intention of the recommendation to our councillors is that the developer is going to fund the majority of the required upgrades and also the design.
The second question is, in the financial report for the council and for the proponent and the owner of the land, who is the trust company or Forico, what would the amount be in that annual report for contingent liabilities, capital commitments, or assets with regard if this goes ahead, if it is approved? There's a couple of months to have worked out what to include, and there's probably a range. Do you have a range of a commitment that the council will have?
For council or for the government?
For the council, because the council will be having to carry out the roadworks, and there will be an asset. You'll require a contribution from the developer, I mean the proponent, to cover their share. So there's a commitment that will have to be disclosed in the financial report.
Yep, so from a council perspective, there hasn't been a decision formed at this point in time, because we actually don't have a planning decision that's been made. So we don't have a commitment to a project for the required upgrades relating to the development, which is what we're discussing in the recommendation. So council would need to form a decision around whether a permit condition is going to be approved. and Council hasn't formed a decision on any capital project at this point in time. But as with any other decision that Council forms relating to the expenditure of communities money, it will be a public decision in a transparent manner. So there hasn't been a decision relating to a capital cost upgrade of Portis Bridge Road at this point, but if there is, it will be public. So there will be... Does that cover your question?
I think it's possible to answer exactly.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks, Lee. Any other questions? Take that as no. All right.
We may have
more questions out there, have we?
We'll just, Linda and...
We'll just check if there's any questions from outside. My apologies. There's others coming in? Yeah, we'll just wait for others to come in.
It sounds terrible in the other room.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Very difficult to understand the answers and the questions. Shame.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, we are ready for your questions.
Okay, so you spoke about the EPA.
Sorry? You've got to give us a...
My name is Louise Middleton.
Thanks, Louise.
And I live in Charlie.
Yeah.
So you spoke about the EPA as the only ones that can make a decision about the air and the water. Yeah? And the animals and the fresh air and dust. Which I suppose they can. But it doesn't... take away your responsibility under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act. Under Section 57, he clearly states, requires Council to process applications in accordance with the planning scheme and consider public input. In Schedule 1 of the Planning Approvals Act, you have to outline the objectives for sustainable development, environmental protection and community wellbeing. This is legislation. So we can't just pick and choose which legislation we like and which we don't. Because under the Tasmanian Planning Scheme, your zoning provisions, like you could put up a very good argument that bauxite mining in rural and agricultural zones is not appropriate. You can put up a solid argument. In performance criteria, the failure to meet the relative codes in the Road and Railway Assets Code, the Natural Assessment Assets Code, and the potential contamination land can justify a refusal of this application. Clauses on the environmental quality and amenity could also be questioned. The Local Government Act, Section 20, clearly states... it mandates the Council must protect community health, safety and welfare and represent community interests. It's a legislative obligation to you. And also a state policy on the protection of prime agricultural land. You can argue that the intent of this policy is relevant to you. I understand that the Council... seems to be stuck on the road like a possum in the headlights. And the reality is that you have much broader legislation that you can draw on. You can't just dismiss strategic community plan. That was put together by the community. That was our vision. You can't just dismiss it. It's also legislated. So I wanted to be just something funny, but I think it's really important that yes, you can mitigate and you can mitigate and you can mitigate. But if you break this community's heart and not listen to the voices, it's record objections. Lots of people have put their heart and soul into trying to convince you that their voices do matter. I understand and appreciate that every one of you that sit here is under enormous pressure. But I'm saying that if you refuse this project, if you are challenged in the courts, you would have the backing of this community. We would back you.
Is there a question?
So my question is, do you feel like a possum stuck in the light, on the road in the headlights?
Thanks for the question. No, I don't.
You don't?
No. We have qualified advice. You've quoted sections and acts and bits and pieces, which is fine. We also have qualified planners that look at the items in front of us every time. So it's up to us as councillors then to make that decision as we sit around the table. So thanks for your question.
My one question is, will you take into consideration how you guys mitigate the community and trust in the council if you vote for this project? I know that you're using the road as political manoeuvring, and I appreciate that approach.
Thanks, Louise. I've given you more than
3 minutes, but yeah.
Thanks for your question. Jim?
Look, I'd just like to say that the council is forming a decision today under the agenda item 12.1. They aren't using the road as political manoeuvring. The assessment of the road condition is a requirement of that planning assessment and to be considered by council. Just regarding the environmental impacts, Louise has made a good point, so I feel it's probably timely to give a reminder that item 12.1 around Porter's Bridge Road, the proposal is defined as a level 2 activity under clause 5A and 6A2 of the Environmental Management and Pollution Control Act. And what that means is the state government's Environmental Protection Authority have the head of power to make the assessment on the environmental, and you notice some other things there, the air quality and dust, I think you mentioned as well. So that assessment has been made by the state government. It isn't for our council today to reconsider that decision, and this decision has already been made by the state.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate that you've been assessed at an A2 or at an A1. Like, the whole original assessment of the EPA was well undergraded.
Well, that's...
And that was
I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. That's the way things are at the moment. I'm sorry. We've listened. I've tried to answer your question.
Just saying that.
Yep, appreciate that. Thank you. Any other questions from the board? Yep.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm Nick Van Amstel from Reed Watch. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge and thank the Valley Council for engaging TCS to undertake an independent review of the traffic assessment, impact assessment, which was prepared by Ben and Sherry, and submitted as part of a re-exit planning application. TCS has identified major shortcomings in Ben and Sherry traffic impact assessment, including the need to reconstruct Ports Bridge Road to an S4 rural road sealed standard to make it safe for traffic. And AVX mine would generate. Unfortunately, AVX's response to this and their inadequate initial assessment is to come up with a temporary traffic management plan. I think it's indicative of the poor standard of AVX's initial submission, and they have only themselves to blame for this predicament that they're in now. The fix that they've got is this temporary traffic management plan, which is going to inflict further frustrations on the community. We've had no inputs on it. And it's proposed to facilitate their operations and to mitigate their failure to plan properly, that we are now having a temporary traffic management plan on a public road being proposed. another view of it is that AVX is simply attempting to delay payment at the cost of the design and construction of the upgrade. Given AVX's record at Bald Hill, council strongly urged to exclude the temporary traffic management plan from the agreement that had been recommended to council by the planner. The question I've got there is, will the councillors consider having all references to the temporary traffic management plan removed from the permit conditions and proposed infrastructure contribution agreement if council decides to approve AVX's planning application?
I can answer that pretty, Nick, given I'm not part of the planning authorities making the decision. So, yes, they will consider that when they're forming the decision today.
Okay, thank you. The next one is just about costs. There's an apportionment of costs. There's two sets of costs that I'd just like to check on. Firstly, it's been proposed to write off the existing Porter's Bridge Road prematurely. There's going to be a write-off cost associated with that. The other one is the cost of TCS's assessment and their traffic impact assessment. The council commissioned that to make up for the deficient traffic impact assessment that APX submitted. And for both of those, that's the write-off cost, and the cost of that is going to be recovered from APX.
So I'll just talk about them separately there, Nick. So the second one that you mentioned, the cost of our engagement with TCS, I guess that was twofold. One, to address, or to have a peer review of the TIA was submitted by the applicant, to assess the conditions of the planning application. So there was that aspect. But also there was some level of concern raised by community in their representations. So we also had an obligation to make sure that the conditions were safe out there regardless of any planning application. So I guess there are two ways of looking at that. We won't be recovering the costs of TCS's engagement from the developer because council will form their decision today. I guess they are costs that we felt we needed to have an informed decision today, to have our councillors have all appropriate information for them in order to form a decision. So with TCS, no, we won't. And the write-off cost, well, that will depend on the final design that would be subject to the project being approved. It'll depend on how much write-off there would be. So the condition of the road varies depending on the segment that we're talking about. They are all constructed at varying points in time. I know that you're very well informed. There are many others that may not be. The seal, the surface, the wearing surface, I suppose you would say, on the top of the road has a different life to the base and the sub-base that are there. They all have different costs and different useful lives. So it would depend on, you know, how much of the road would be removed. It may be that a lot of what is there can be reused. So, look, at this point in time, without a decision in front of us and without a detailed design, I can't provide any commitment that the write-off of any of the infrastructure would be recovered. But honestly, we don't know what that write-off would be.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Nick. Any other questions from the audience? Any other questions from outside, Linda, at all? Do we know? Oh, yeah, sorry, one more. Thank you.
It's just a question. I haven't been able to read all the documentation, so that may well be answered. There's obviously the cost associated with the upgrade to Portersbridge Road, but there will also be an ongoing cost for maintenance of the roads that's going to be exacerbated and increased by the degradation of the roads from the increase in the number of vehicles. Has there been any cost that, or any form of modelling that's been done to assume what the cost will be, not only on Portersbridge Road, but on the peripheral roads, that as a ratepayer we will be having to foot the bill for, and will ABX be putting the bill for that increased maintenance going forward?
Yes, that's right, Sarah. So If the decision is formed today and it is per what's recommended in our agenda, there is an obligation on the developer to contribute to the ongoing maintenance as well as the upgrade. So there will be a requirement for them to contribute to maintenance costs in the future.
And that won't be just the Portersbridge Road, but it'll be for the peripheral roads they use too?
So it is only relating to the area of Portersbridge Road that's been identified as being required to be upgraded for the development, so it doesn't extend beyond that.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Any other questions? No? I think so.
Linda's gone back out.
No more? No more questions? Very good. Thank you to all those that asked questions, not to all those that answered questions. Thank you very much for answering some of those questions. That brings us to the end of public question time. Councillor Temple.
Just a question, Mr. Mayor. If the in the supper room the sound is not adequate, would it be pertinent to adjourn the meeting for 10 minutes to see if that can be improved?
We've just checked with the audio in the supper room, and the audio is good when everyone speaks into the microphone. Councillor Temple, so we've already checked that. Thank you. So no, I won't be adjourning with you. Thank you. All right, so we'll move on to page 15, which is Councillor Question Time. There is no questions with notice. Are there any questions without notice, councillors? As there is no, I'll get my paper over the right spot. We'll move on then to councillor notices of motions. There's no council notice of motions in progress. Are there any from the floor? Take that as no. Moving on to planning authority. So in planning matters, council acts as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. There is a list of strategy, policy, legislation, consultation. It's there on page 16. We have planning authority reports, PA240052, 328 and 340 Portersbridge Road. We have a list of representatives. No, not that one. I don't want to read. Put that there. So we have a list of representatives to come before us. I'll just make sure my time is right. Okay, so we're just about to bring the representatives in. I've got a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 at the moment. Some are here.
Some are
here. Well, we'll just wait for the door to open and close.
First two, right?
Yeah.
That's a very good news. So, Robin,
could... Yeah. Sorry, John.
Were there any declarations of interest in this matter?
Already been read out at the start of the meeting, yes. So.
Thank you. Robin's here. She's a representative of speak.
Righto. So, Robin, if you're happy to speak for your 3 minutes.
So, again, Robin Adams from Reed Marsh. So, we residents at Reed Marsh are a very low-cost, low-maintenance region of the Meander Valley. The majority of us own vastly more than 1 hectare and we pay our rates accordingly. But we also, we pick up litter, we remove roadkill to improve road safety, and we generally view this arrangement as a partnership. In early September last year, a storm event swept through. We residents cleared the trees from our local roads when it was safe for us to do so, and we removed debris from clogged gutters to reinstate flow. We volunteered to do this work and to enable council to move on to those who had greater need in that circumstance. We also did it because it served the community as a whole. What I'm describing here is social capital or goodwill, and it is the cornerstone of regional and rural communities everywhere. We're not just residents, though. We're also contributing to the wider community. We are the builders, the healthcare workers, the hospitality and retail workers. We are small business operators, artists. We're primary producers. And we have all chosen to live here because of the amenity of the area. We view this proposal, the DL130 Bauxite Project, to develop a mine in our midst as an irreversible threat to that amenity. And this will inevitably result in a loss of goodwill. We urge you to use your discretionary powers to respond to our numerous objections by rejecting this application. Allow me to make a comparison here to the DAB scheme, where council itself was involved in an objections process. Were you worried about the power that you have in the local community being diminished, being sidelined, silenced, rendered redundant? This is the height of the hypocrisy and irony that you can't recognise that what you feared the DAP doing to you, you are doing to us currently. Let's please pull back away from this abyss and use your discretion to do the job that it was given to you for. So all the things that we have warned you about in regard to this proposal that you can't consider, you will ultimately be forced to consider it anyway. The only possible gain from this proposal, was that a 2 minute or a 3 minute?
That's 3 minutes. I'll let you wrap up.
Thank you. The only possible gain from this proposal after you boil it all down is that council gets a road upgrade that it doesn't currently need. This is essentially private prosperity over community wellbeing. And I'm pleased to say, councillors, that today that choice is yours. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Next on my list is Nick Van Hemstel.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Council has engaged TCS to undertake a traffic impact assessment of the zone, and that impact assessment has identified major shortcomings in the Pittenshiri traffic impact assessment, including the need to reconstruct Porter's Bridge Road to a S4 rural road sealed standard to make it safe for the traffic ABX might regenerate. I'm concerned that ABX, in response to this, has submitted a temporary traffic management plan, which is recommended for inclusion in the Part 5 Infrastructure Contribution Agreement, and urge Council to consider deleting this recommendation from Infrastructure Contribution Agreement and any reference to the temporary traffic management plan and the concurrent conditions. The basis for this is that it's ABX's lack of community consultation and its inadequate traffic impact assessment that have delayed the planning process for its proposed walk site line. If ABX had undertaken and included a proper traffic impact assessment in its original planning application, the need for upgrading of Porter's Bridge Road would have been identified much earlier, and the design for this could have been completed by now, which would have allowed construction to be tendered subject to planning approval being granted. If a temporary traffic management plan was still considered necessary in that proper submission, ABX could have included it as a measure for mitigation in the traffic impact assessment for council and the public to consider. ABX has only itself to blame for its predicament, and now it is proposing inflicting further frustrations on the community with this proposed temporary traffic management plan on a public road to facilitate its operations and its failure to mitigate properly. It's ABX's poor planning that has led to this temporary traffic management plan being proposed. Another perspective is that the temporary traffic management plan is merely an attempt by ABX to delay payment of the cost of the design and construction before this bridge road upgrade. So I'd just like to urge the council to consider deleting all the references to the temporary traffic management plan in the matter that they're considering. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Next one is Liz Nichols.
Good afternoon, councillors. My name is Liz Nichols. I'm here on behalf of my family, neighbours, and we are residents of Reedy Marsh. I wanted to take this opportunity to respectfully speak to you about the impact the DL139 proposal will have on my family and our agricultural business. Sean and I have been in this community for over 20 years as a married couple. I grew up in Western Creek, attended Deloraine High School, and returned to this community after completing my university degree. Our family have a beef cattle farm and we breed thoroughbred racehorses. We choose to live in Reedy Marsh because it is a pristine, quiet, beautiful environment and because we wanted to raise our family on a farm. Agriculture brings more than just food. It is a way of life, a way to teach our children what is important, to build resilience, to contribute to our community and to live a safe, healthy and grounded life. As part of our business, we distribute wealth to vets very frequently, farriers, trimmers, body workers, dentists, feed companies, studs, contractors, jockeys, trainers, stock agents, cattle transporters, and our local community, only to name a few. We also pay tax, we pay rates. We are part of this community and we contribute to it significantly. This mine threatens our health, our safety, our environment, and our business. It in turn promises absolutely no economic or social benefit to our community, and instead is predicated on environmental destruction. Disturbance of endangered species, pollution of our precious air, our water, and threatens our health, safety, and right to live and travel in our own community. Mining will justify this destruction through greenwashing statements that claim that they are essential for a carbon-neutral future, or that they will improve our environment. With all due respect, these are blatant lies. You cannot secure a sustainable future through environmental destruction. It is pure greed, nothing more. ABX's own traffic assessment indicated that at minimum, there would be a serious accident on Porter's Bridge Road as a consequence of the mine every 7 years. These serious concerns were echoed in your traffic assessment.
We are not talking about faceless, nameless lives. We are talking at a minimum of three families injured or killed for the sake of some low-grade bauxite for South Australia's concrete industry. Our family has recently been touched by such a trauma. We lost our niece in a traffic accident 18 months ago, and I would not wish this loss on anyone. We are not talking numbers. We are talking devastating and lasting trauma for real families in our beautiful community and for what? AVX, leave our homes alone, leave our community alone. Our community has resoundingly and emphatically spoken, you will never be welcome here. With respect, Mr. Mayor and councillors, I implore you to keep my family and our community safe, to categorically reject the DL 130 bauxite mine proposal. Thank you.
Thanks, Liz. Next over, David Maddox.
My name is David Maddox. I own a 25-acre property on Johns Road, Reedy Marsh. I purchased the block in 1997. I reside in Launceston but intend to live at Reedy Marsh in the future. The block is zoned residential. It was zoned residential by Meander Valley Council with the intention of people residing on it, not conducting commercial operations. The proposed mine will affect the amenity of my family and I living on our residential block. I'm concerned about the much-discussed environmental issues which can be attributed to a mine as proposed for Reedy Marsh. The noise pollution, air pollution, affected water quality will all be detrimental to the amenity of life living in Reedy Marsh. I'm also concerned about the mine being built in a corridor of bush that stretches from the sea to the central highlands, encompassing the mine site and my block of land. Numerous birds use this corridor to travel from the coast to the highlands, including sea and wedge-tailed eagles, black cockatoos and currawongs. My biggest concern around the proposed mine is the increased traffic on River Road and Porter's Bridge Road. Porter's Bridge Road, north of the Meander River, is a throwback to the days of horse and carts. It is very narrow and windy. If you meet a truck on a corner, there is nowhere to go except down the bank or into the trees to avoid a collision. The road has been deemed unsafe for a Target Tasmania stage, so surely it isn't safe for countless big trucks along with regular commuters. River Road from Deloraine apparently isn't going to be used by trucks, but there will surely still be an increase in workers, contractors and others using the road to access the mine site. When it floods, often the only way out of Reedy Marsh is via Porter's Bridge Road. In 2005, River Road was closed for a period of months while the bridge near Johnson Wadley's Road was replaced. During this time, the only way in or out was via Porter's Bridge Road. This situation can arise again in the future, making Porter's Bridge Road the only thoroughfare, with all the mine trucks using the road as well. Please, Council, for the sake of the amenity of residing in Reedy Marsh, and the safety of my wife, my son, myself and others, please reject this mine proposal as not suitable for Reedy Marsh. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Linda, what's wrong?
So I'd like to thank you and the councillors and the general manager, the time planners, all the staff at the NDC. You've worked so hard for many months on this and you've been very kind and patient with us, so thank you. You know how we feel about this proposed mine. It will threaten our beautiful clean air, our precious water, our wildlife, our way of life, our children's future. And it's just a gateway mine. Other mining companies have said in so many words that if this mine goes ahead, they intend to jump on the bandwagon too. I know that you must share some of our concerns because you also all live in the valley. My NDS has upgraded the application several times and they've improved it hugely, but it will still have an impact on us. There's no way around it. They'll destroy whatever land they mine because that's what happens with mining. It's impossible not to. They've upgraded their road report, but the Road Authority have said that there's still six major concerns. Porter's Bridge Road is not fit for purpose, and that's the one thing that you can rule on as council. So you get to vote on this. We have great respect for the town planners. You've done a huge amount of work in a very short time, and we really appreciate that. But with all due respect, if one has to ignore your own opinion, if you have to ignore your own thoughts, your own fears, if you have to ignore what the community has asked you overwhelmingly, if you're compelled to vote yes to whatever the town planners have recommended, then it isn't really a vote at all, is it? So please, we beg you, do the right thing, make your vote count. The only thing that you can vote on is the road. The road authority has said the application is inadequate, not fit for purpose, so please vote no.
Thanks, Linda. Thanks,
Linda. Mr. Mayor, I've got Margaret Graham,
yes,
my neighbour.
Please, yes, you can. Yes.
So, statement from Margaret Graham from Wadley's Road, Reedy Marsh. I'm 75 years old now, and my time here is waning. I strongly believe that it is our duty as citizens and leaders to lay a safe and prosperous future for our children and grandchildren. I urge all council members to think of their families and the generations to come. These children are our future, and it is our duty to ensure that the beauty that is Tasmania is there for them to enjoy throughout the generations. My husband and I came for a holiday way back in 2006. We enjoyed it so much that my husband said Tasmania felt like home. The next year, we moved to Port Huon. Reedy Marsh is our home now. We wanted the beauty and serenity of a rural lifestyle area and are very concerned that our chosen way of life will be strongly affected by this mine. Industrial noise, drinking water, and land contamination, loss of precious flora and fauna and habitat will affect all our lives detrimentally. Our health and the health of our grandchildren may be at risk. The land chosen for this mine is prime agricultural land at present, but it will not be after the mine leaves. What will our properties be like by then? Will we still be able to live here safely? Tasmania is such an amazing and beautiful state. We promote our wonders to tourists, asking them to visit. But like us, many will consider staying to enjoy that wonder. I ask that each council member consider this matter carefully and to be diligent in protecting our way of life and the life of our families to come. After all, this is why we chose to live here.
Thanks, Linda. So on my list I've got Lee, Ralph and James. Is any of those here? Yep, please. Whoever's up. Yep, James. Sorry, James. Step up, sorry.
Hello, my name is James Aquina. I'm a resident of Reedy Marsh. I want to say thank you, councillors, for giving me the opportunity to speak today. My family and I are returning residents to this area. We've lived all over Tasmania, but nowhere else have we found a place as welcoming and inviting as in the Yandra Valley. We chose to come back here because of its sense of community, its natural beauty, and the way people look out for each other. This is a place where neighbours are more than just people who live next door. They're friends, supporters, and sometimes even family. We came back because we believe in what this community stands for. I know that each of you shares a deep connection to this place. You're not just councillors, you're our neighbours, our friends, and fellow members of the community. Over the past couple of months, mainly throughout this process, I've watched each of you make difficult decisions, always with empathy and compassion. You've listened to residents in conflict, weighed the needs of families, farmers and small business owners, and shown time and time again that your hearts are with the people who live in this area. And let's be clear, compassion and empathy are not weakness. We saw that so clearly in the recent federal election, where voters across the country rewarded leaders who listened, who cared, and who put people first. It's a strength to stand up for your community and to protect what matters most. And that's why I'm asking you today to draw on that same compassion and connection, to say no to the proposed bauxite mine at Reedy Marsh. Yes, the planners have recommended approval, but a report doesn't capture what it's like to watch your children play on the gum trees, to see the morning mist rising over our paddocks, or to pause and watch eagles soaring high into the sky. It can't measure the peace of mind that comes from knowing our air, our water and our land is safe for the next generation. The mine might only operate for 20 years, but the impact on our way of life, our environment and our sense of community will last much, much longer. This isn't just a temporary inconvenience. It's a fundamental change to the place we all love. And let's be honest, this mine has no roots in our community. It's not a project that grew out of a local need or desire. The people who stand to benefit are not the people who elected you, who you run into at the shops, or who you wave to as you drive by. Local representation means standing up for the people who live here, who care about this place and have entrusted each of you to make decisions on their behalf. I know this isn't easy and there are pressures and arguments for both sides, but I urge you, follow your hearts, as you have often done so in the past. Remember the compassion you've shown and the responsibility you carry for those who inherit this land after us. Today, you stand at a crossroads. One path leads to short-term gain for outsiders. The other preserves the heart and the soul of the Meander Valley for generations to come. This is your moment to show what true local representation means. To stand with the people who live here, who love this place, and even trusting you with its future. Each of you, we're not elected as planners, but rather as councillors and people first, who will act with integrity, compassion and consideration. So before you make a decision, I implore you to ask yourselves this. When you look back at this moment, will you be able to say that your decision protected the community you love and honour the trust of the people who call this valley home? Thank you for listening, and I hope that you have heard my voice, a simple voice which is one amongst hundreds. Thank you.
Thanks, James. We've got two others I noticed. Lee's not in. And Ralph?
Ralph's not in.
But do you want to speak, sorry?
Mr. Mayor, councillors, I'm representing Kim Katakos. I just received this because it was a bit much for me to be reading everything out. So here we go. And it's from a ratepayer landowner in Reedy Marsh. He wishes to reiterate his objections to the proposed form of government, which you've probably heard many times now. Very concerned about the impact on the community, the residents' health and well-being, the impact on agricultural practice. All concerned because of the probable toxic impact from bauxite mining. He expresses a strong concern about fallout of bauxite dust and the inhalation by people and livestock of the residues and the toxicity that may have and the long-term impacts that would have on the health of the proposed 20-year life of this extractive activity at various sites in Reedy Marsh and Westbury will cause deforestation, water contamination and ongoing issues with airborne dust in an area of approximately 20 kilometres around the zone, which is taking in a large area of our community. Consequential effects of environmental damage will reduce investment costs in the area, resulting in a loss of value of property, and will be of concern for all community, Deloraine residents and Westbury residents. A concern is mentioned about ABX being virtually insolvent, totally dependent on government grants at this stage, and I know that that's probably not something you can take into account, but past history suggests that that could seriously affect costs for the council and for ratepayers in the area. So there have been no tangible benefit in any way for our community from this proposal, as it will degrade the district to a mining town status and lose its current status of tourism and cultural heritage. For myself, this is slightly separate from this. I've been a resident here for 23 years with my wife and raised four children here. We've found this place to be a very beautiful, welcoming environment. I would like it to stay that way and not have to live in concern in the future for our health and well-being. I trust in you to make a good decision.
Thank you, but you didn't give us your name when you started.
Well, Mark Ulrich.
Thank you, Mark. Were you around?
Yep. It's Ray.
Sorry.
No, you...
Oh, Ray, you've told us that in the past. My apologies.
It's a joke, okay? Don't worry about it. Hi. Thanks. Ray Wayman from John's Road of Reedy Marsh. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Following a series of community workshops, you created the beautiful Meander Valley Community Strategic Plan, which has been designated by you as the council's highest level planning document. I repeat, council's highest level planning document. By evaluating the ABX mine proposal in alignment with the principles outlined
in the strategic plan and sustainable framework development network frameworks. You have the opportunity to safeguard the community's values, tourism, natural resources, and the long-term well-being of future generations, which is what the strategy is all about. As the strategy says, our planning services ensure appropriate development which protects and enhances the natural and built environment. Now's your chance to prove it. The ABX application itself is riddled with half-truths, inconsistencies and errors. It is the classic product of a failing company with a bad history in mining who are desperate to use the proposed bauxite mine as a doorway to enlarge rare earth mineral mine. Their only interest is to earn money and save their failing company. ABX are adding nothing to the Meander Valley or Tasmania. No jobs, no income, no secondary industry, nothing. But what they are doing in the process is awful and long-lasting, reducing tourism in the valley and therefore the income of hotel and shop owners, threatening our peaceful lifestyle, our health and our property values, threatening the lives of our native animals, and in particular those of young platypus and Tasmanian devils, who explore the countryside from our land in Reedy Marsh, up to 5 kilometres away to find a new home for themselves, and endangering the habitat of our precious wedge-tailed eagles, which are famously sensitive to intrusion and disturbance. But they thrive in Reedy Marsh. It's simple. There are no gains for the community, only huge losses, and agreeing to the proposal would make a complete mockery of the Meander Valley Community Strategic Plan, which, I repeat, is described by Council as the Council's highest level planning document. So it's simple. Follow your strategic plan for the valley we love. Follow what ABX used to say on their homepage before they deleted it. We only go where we are welcome. Well, they are not welcome. So let's just keep it simple. Say no to ABX. Follow your hearts, otherwise in 10 years' time, I fear you might wake up saying, what was I thinking? Why didn't I follow my instincts for what I know is right? I failed the community I love. Oh, Godchild, I am so sorry. Thank you.
Helen, you've come in. I gather you would like to make a 3-minute? No. Probably finish off with Lee.
It will just take 1 minute. I ask myself, why is this mine necessary? According to statistics readily available on websites, there is still over 70 years of bauxite ore to be extracted on the mainland. There's no need to have a mine thousands of kilometres from the place where it is to be used, when other ore is available closer. I ask myself, why is it necessary to damage an area so far away from where it is to be used? Why is it necessary to cost us thousands of dollars, many hours of time, for something that is not needed? You've heard other people say how precious the area is for them. You've heard them say the cost is exorbitant. You've heard them say that the damage that will be done is overwhelming. I ask you to consider whether or not we actually need something in this area, in this valley, in this state even, when it's so readily available on the mainland.
Thanks, Helen. Lee?
3 minutes doesn't need much time.
I'm not starting the timer for you, Lee, on this one, so...
I've got it all written up, so... The real power of the people and the community is not with those who vote, it's not with those who we vote for in Hobart or Canberra. So, councillors, I urge you, don't let this opportunity to use your discretion to really represent the people in the community that you share with us. Don't let this opportunity go by. Policies and laws that dilute the will of communities needs to be kept in check. The planners are unwitting gatekeepers in this process. We realise that. I know this. I am an accountant, so I know what it's like. But we do appreciate the amount of work that the planners have put into this process. And it must have been many hours of having to try and juggle and fit things into place and update things. But now, as the councillors, you have an awesome opportunity. ABX will spin artificial concepts like renewables, or delivering on government promises, or solving the housing crisis, or employment, or securing our economy or our strategic resources. They will say, do you have a mobile phone? Do you have aluminium cooking pots or aluminium windows? They will try and guilt you to even thinking about rejecting this application. With all due respect to ABX, if you let a child play with matches, they will burn down the house. Campbelltown, Tazrail and others fell for those promises back in 2014. Within a year, the mine was in care and maintenance. The promised 1.5 to 2.5 million tonnes over 5 years turned into less than 200,000 tonnes. The problem? No market for the low-grade bauxite. Tazrail, who geared up for the failed tonnages, had to write off over $2.5 million. ABX left the town in a trail of bauxite dust on a very wobbly West Street. Their method of operation hasn't changed. They have going concern issues. They are a two-penny stock company, adding up to about $10 million of hot air. They tried again in Fingal. They've been trying on the mainland with bauxite. Their motto of only operating where they are welcome is proving to be a problem. Forico has overloaded them, and so now let's scratch up to 60 hectares of perfectly good topsoil for some dusty, low-grade bauxite in Reedy Marsh. Let's hijack Porter's Bridge Road and ship that bauxite all the way to Adelaide. The neighbours of that area are not happy. We aren't happy. Parents drive their kids to school on that road. So do the sustainability claims still stack up? Their plans didn't work before and they won't work now. Renewables, such an artificial greenwashed concept. Well, the residents of Meander Valley and Reedy Marsh know what real renewables are. We live where we do because every day we witness true renewables. The call of the wedge-tailed eagles soaring in the clear open sky. The sound of a wallaby beating his tail on the ground. The eerie screech of the possums. And sometimes the demented growl of a tansy devil. That's only what we hear. But there's a certain comfort in knowing that there are crazy wombats, secretive quolls and rare toms, potoroos, antechinus, and this is only scratching the surface. They say the devil is in the detail. Councillors, there is much detail in this assessment. ABX has had to improve its application over and over, both for the EPA and for the Road Authority. They say you can't fix stupid. A lot of ratepayers' funds have already gone unnecessarily into this application. This should have never been recommended for approval. So I urge you, councillors, let's cut our losses and see it for what it is and reject this application outright. Let ABX bow out gracefully. You will be doing them a favour. Let them stick to something really worthwhile, their recycling project in Balbay. The community has your back, and we will support you all the way.
Yep. Thanks, Lee. Are there any other representatives that wish to address the council?
I think that is no from out there, Luke. No more. Okay, thank you. Thanks to the representatives that have addressed the council. We'll now move on. Excuse me while I get to my right page. 8.17, General Manager, do you have something to add before we put the motion?
Yes, I do, Mayor. So there is one required change to the recommendation that has been identified since the publishing of the agenda last Thursday. So that is on page 27 of the published agenda, and it is permit condition 2CI. So if I read it, it's the last word that says or was changed to and. So for the recommended permit condition 2C, it is both I and II. So it's not been
recorded. Yeah, if you don't mind, just for clarity.
Okay, yep. So it relates to the temporary traffic management plan. So the TTMP procedure, if the operator wishes to transport quarried material on the road prior to the necessary upgrades to the road being completed, it may only do so subject to the following: payment of a financial contribution to the council equal to the council's reasonable costs of completing the design work for the necessary upgrades to the road. And what was stated as or is changed to and. And the operator prepares and submits to the satisfaction of Council's Director Infrastructure Services a TTMP procedure which includes, but is not limited to, A, B, C.
Thank you, gentlemen. The Council's clear on that?
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, I'll ask for a mover and then a seconder. Councillor Loader is a mover of the motion. Thank you. A seconder of the motion, please. No seconder of the motion. I'll ask again for a seconder of the motion. No seconder of the motion. Now we're in procedural issues.
I'll second
that. Oh, Councillor Cameron came in at the last minute as a seconder of the motion. Councillor Loader is a mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. And I move this motion just to get it started with the debate. So there were 86 representations received, and with by my count, 108 signatories. They were all objecting. As much as I'd like to assess the environmental concerns raised, that responsibility lies with the Environmental Protection Authority under the state government's planning laws, not with Meander Valley Council. I also wish we could have allowed more time for public input, but the short submission period is set by the same legislation. Despite strong concerns, including from OAM recipient and local naturalist Sarah Lloyd, agenda page 148, the EPA has approved the environmental assessment. Road safety concerns raised about state growth roads have also been assessed by that department. The developer has been in the area since 2012, agenda page 360, and has previously claimed that they wouldn't proceed where they weren't welcome. Yet this application is here, despite the overwhelming objection. What council can assess is Porter's Bridge Road as the local road authority. I know firsthand how dangerous roads like this can be. In March 2010, I found myself face to face with a large truck on a single lane bridge. Its brakes failed. I was lucky. The driver managed to avoid a head-on collision, sideswiping my car, removing all the panels beside me as I held on to the... I can go right back there and I can video this in my head. It sideswiped me and I hung on to the steering wheel, screaming my head off. I had a really sore throat for about a week. It took out the bridge's railings and came to rest, straddling the creek. This road, Porter's Bridge Road, is used by school buses and young drivers, doubling heavy vehicle traffic is simply unsafe and irresponsible. While many valid concerns have been raised, our role is to assess the suitability of the road for this level of development, and Quarters Bridge Road is simply not fit for this level of heavy vehicle use. I urge my councillor colleagues to please vote against this motion. I simply can't support it.
Thanks, Councillor Loder. Councillor Cameron is the seconder of the motion.
Thanks, Councillor Loder. And Mayor, sorry. Look, I probably have a lot to say as we move through the debate, but I really just wanted to start by thanking the representatives here today. And I know the gallery and the sub-room is absolutely chockers full, and I really do appreciate you coming along today and all of the other meetings that we've been to. I mean, it's not lost on me how hard this has been for the Reedy Marsh community. You know, we see it in your eyes. We know the desperation that you want answers, and as difficult as today is, I am just really pleased that we're finally here. As I said, I'll probably say more as we move on to the debate, but I want to start also by thanking Brenton and the team in planning for all the work that you've done. I think Lee pointed out before, it's a tough job, and we do really appreciate all the work you've done, so well done to you. Look, I told myself in 2018 when I got onto council that I was always going to stay true to my values and I was going to make the right decision even when it was hard and unpopular. And I know today it's going to be a really hard decision. So I do want to move on to the rest of the debate and that it will make fellow councillors have an opportunity to speak as well.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Open up for debate and discussion, councillors. We have the planners, Councillor House.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I stand a bit close to the microphone. I, along with everyone else around this table, I suspect have wrestled with this application, and the speakers today haven't made it any easier. To those representatives, they really have spoken, not just today, but before, with passion, and I thank you for that. But also the correspondence has really been conducted in a very polite and respectful way, and given such an emotive issue, I think that's been really impressive, and I think it hasn't been lost on any of us. All of the points have been really well articulated again today, but prior as well. I'm sure everyone around the table appreciate the level of correspondence, its content, and the way it's been delivered. It is regrettable that many of the matters raised in the representations are outside the scope of council to consider in its role as planning authority, and that's been mentioned more than once now. I'm sure it will be mentioned again. I know that will be a disappointment to me. However, that does not mean that your views are not being heard. Far from it. Today is evidence that everyone is really keen to hear your views. It is a difficult balance as councillors to fulfil the role, and as well as councillors also as being part of the planning authority, as we are required to do. Our Mayor Wayne mentioned the two hats. It's a very uncomfortable fit wearing that second hat sometimes, and I'm sure a lot of people think it's not even a good hat. But it is one that we are required to wear. To me, I could talk more about the other issues that have been raised, but they've already been dealt with or will be dealt with in terms of what the EPA have given their judgment. To me, the overriding consideration here is safety. I am concerned that the proposed additional level of heavy traffic on Porter's Bridge Road, 78 truck movements a day during campaign periods and then some of the other traffic as well, service vehicles and the like. And it's the heavy traffic levels that do concern me. The road, as it is currently, notwithstanding some ongoing maintenance work, is adequate for current traffic levels, but it would appear to me clearly not for the proposed additional levels. The road will need to be upgraded to an S4 level to allow that additional traffic volume. It is my view that this roadwork should be completed prior to that additional load. I'm having difficulty also with the option of having a TCMP or temporary traffic management plan, which may be in place at certain campaign times for up to 2 years. In my view, not only is this likely to negatively impact road users over a prolonged period of time, and the efficiency of the section of the road affected by the one-way shuttle arrangement, but it also allows the additional higher level of heavy traffic on existing roads as well during that period. And some of them might be undergoing roadworks at that time. I don't believe this to be an acceptable increase in risk for all road users during that period. Frustration was a word that was used today as well. So I don't believe this to be an acceptable increase in risk or frustration for existing road users. So I'm having trouble supporting this aspect of the proposal, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Dutton.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to start by acknowledging two things. First is the work of the staff. It's taken an immense amount of work to deliver this today, so we do appreciate that and thank you for it. It has been tense at times, and sometimes you cop it from the community when you really shouldn't, because you're just giving your advice as you're required to do, so we thank you for that. I'd also like to thank the representatives, and I, in particular Lee and Linda, for, I guess, leading what has been a strong community push. It feels a bit like the grand final, only it's probably the shittest grand final that we've ever been to. So I want to thank you both for the work you're doing there, and for every other person who has come to the council meetings, spoken to us in person, sent us an email, are watching in the other room now. We do know you're there, and have found a way to make their voices heard and known. We do hear you and appreciate you. With regard to some of the concerns that have been raised, personally, I share those concerns. Concerns about the impact on the environment, on water, on air. Concerns have been raised about the business stability or feasibility of AVX, and I appreciate all of them. But it is true, as it has been said time and time again, that they are not matters that we can analyse in dealing with this development application, particularly the environment. When the EPA has given their approval, we are subordinate to them in this regard. And so whilst, yes, some legislation does say that we have to turn our minds to it, and we certainly do, I came into this role being very clear that I will do my best for the community based on the powers that I have. And I will never pretend that I have powers to turn things down based on issues such as the environment when I don't have that. That's the EPA that's covered that. I note in the agenda as well that State Growth have stated that they don't have objections to the impact on their roadways and consider it minimal. In terms of the discretions that we have before us, there are a limited few. It has been suggested that because there are discretions, there's automatic ability to reject the application. I wish that it was as easy as flicking a switch. The fact is, when we look at discretions, they are a possibility to approve or reject an application, but they need to be considered in balance with alternatives, such as the TTMP and other mitigating factors. And so on that basis, we are restricting ourselves to looking at the road and the impact on the roadway and road users and the discretions that apply there. I drove down Porter's Bridge Road yesterday. I went onto the site and had a look about it. It's not the first time I've been there, and I just wanted to have one last look before I came here today. Ironically, as I was driving along the roadway into where the TTMP would take effect, I almost had a head-on collision with a ute coming the opposite way, and was just a bit too tight around the corner on my side of the road. So it was a near miss, and I think it certainly brought things into perspective for me there. And it is on that basis that, in its current state, I can't support this this recommendation. But I do think, on balance, that this application is likely to succeed, especially if it goes to an appeal. And on that basis, I won't, and I don't say this reflecting on any contribution of any other councillor, but I'm not going to get hopes up chasing a sugar hit saying that I'm going to reject this when I believe on balance that it is an application that will succeed regardless, based on the limited discretions and the ability to mitigate the issues that are before us. So in turning to mitigation of the problems, I am going to foreshadow an alternate motion because I won't support the one that's currently in front of us. And the alternate motion would be to remove clause 2C and all following references to the temporary traffic management plan. And the basis of doing that is, I guess, twofold. The first is that within reference to clause 3.5.1 under P1, or the performance criteria, I don't believe that the TTMP that is being proposed can adequately mitigate the risks of the increased traffic that would likely occur under the current development application should the campaigns occur prior to the road upgrades. I believe the only way that we can make this safe is if we upgrade the roads first before any increase in traffic caused by the bauxite mine does occur. I won't and can't reject it outright because I see the road upgrades as being a mitigating factor that will enable road safety and enable the issues that we're facing to be dealt with. But I won't support the TTMP, and I will make it very clear that I view the only way to ensure road safety aims is to first upgrade the roads, and in doing so, make it clear through the Permit Commission conditions that it is a requirement of the applicant to pay for these road upgrades. And I think that is reasonable. I don't think it is the responsibility of the council or our ratepayers to pay for a benefit of a corporation that is coming into our community. And frankly, if this corporation wants to seek the benefit of our resources, then that is well and good. They have their entitlements at law to do so. But they certainly won't be getting a free ride out of it. We need to prioritise our community safety, and I believe removing the TTMP, ensuring that our upgrades occur first, will be the best way to do that. So I will leave my contribution there, but foreshadow that ultimately.
Thanks, Councillor Dunman. Open up for discussion, councillors. Any other comments from councillors?
I'd like to ask a question, a clarifying question. Thank you, Mayor. So if the TTMP is removed, that what you're saying, I think, is that ABX will have to pay to have the road fully upgraded to S4 standard before they can have their trucks going in and out. I think that's what will happen. I'm not sure if I'm asking Councillor Dudman or the planners this.
Probably a question to the planners or the general manager, councillor, or works department. Or
I've got two clarifying questions. So that's the first one. Does that mean they can't transport?
I'm looking at the planners up that end of the table for a response.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Based on the current drafting, they would not be able to. The TTMP relates to heavy vehicle movements associated with the movement of product from the site. So they would still be able to have heavy vehicle movements associated with setting up the site, but the actual transport of product would be stopped until such time as the road is upgraded.
Thank you. And may I ask a second? So thank you for that clarification. But the other thing is they could still mine.
They could still mine, even without the TTMP. They could just have a great big container to dig stuff up in and put it in and wait until the roads fixed. Is that right?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that is correct. They could stockpile extracted material.
Gentlemen,
yeah, I just feel like I want to clarify, it would also depend on the exact wording of Councillor Duncan's alternative motion if we got to that point. So we don't know, but that sounds like that's the intention.
Councillor Temple.
In a similar vein, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask a question.
Sure.
Assuming the TTMP is removed, what is the largest gross mass of a vehicle that could be used with the road in its current condition, meaning there are smaller tip trucks in existence in the world?
I'm going to throw to infrastructure.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Thank you for the question, Councillor Temple. It will be a 19-metre general access vehicle with a maximum weight of 49 tonnes, is my understanding.
So I presume that a huge tonnage of material could be removed as the road stands under this.
The planners are shaking their heads, so I get them to...
Through you, Mr. Mayor, no. The road needs to be upgraded before they can start moving material from the site.
That's pretty clear. Thank you. Any other questions, councillors?
I just need to clarify that. So that means regardless of the size of the vehicle, no material could be removed from the site, even in the back of a ute?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes. The condition is quite clear in saying that use of the road and transport materials quarried from the site cannot commence until the council has completed the necessary upgrades. That's the wording in the recommended recommendation. So.
We haven't moved to an alternative motion.
Okay.
So, foreshadowed an alternative motion, yeah. Councillor Dudman. You haven't moved it.
No.
Onto the vote.
Hard at the moment.
That's right. Any other questions, comments, councillors? I guess from my point of view to the planners, if we knock back this process now, that'll no doubt it'll be appealed, I'm suggesting by ABX. And I guess, and this is hypothetical, the chances of ABX overturning our knockback, can you actually hypothetically say what those chances would be, or through general management?
No, we can't, Mayor. So you are right. If the application were to be refused, then there are certainly appeal rights with the applicant to appeal that decision, and then the appeals tribunal will have the ability to form a new decision with new conditions, which may be different to those being formed today.
And on the reverse, the same, if we approve it, there is obviously appeals rights for those that are sitting around to appeal as well.
Yeah, that's right. So we had maybe six representatives, I believe, and so each of them have the ability to either appeal in their own right or join an appeal as well, which they will, all parties will receive a notice of the decision following Council's decision today. And yep, they'll outline their appeal rights within the notice that they receive, unless Brenton has anything to add to that.
No.
Thanks, General Manager.
Can I just have a second bite of the cherry on indulgence?
You can, Councillor Dudman.
Thank you. I just want to clarify and thank you for the questions that were directed regarding my proposed alternate. That yes, this is about community safety. With regard to your questions about the appeal, that's where I'm coming from with this alternate. I believe that on balance, the proposed development application, whether we like it or not, and largely I think it's not liked, is likely to succeed regardless of the position we take today. And so as I said at the beginning of my contribution, for me it's doing the best for the community with the limitations in mind that I have as a councillor. And that's why I believe the TTMP, removing that through my foreshadowed motion, would be the best option to make sure we're maximising community safety and ensuring that the community and the roads are treated the way they should be prior to the commencement, so that we can ensure that we are not ceding safety for profit. And as I said before, I don't believe the TTMP can adequately mitigate the risk of the road in its current state. I think it's well understood that if the road was upgraded to S4, then yes, there's no choice but to accept that it would be a safe road, and so that's what my proposed amendment is about. It's about ensuring that we skip to the part where we are safe for our community to live along that road and operate along that road. I believe that that is an argument that should AVX choose to appeal it, and I have no doubt they will, that we have strong grounds to fight on. I don't believe we have strong grounds on absolute rejection.
Thanks, Councillor Dutman. I will agree with you, actually, on your points that you've raised. Probably the same as every other council sitting around the table since this has been in front of us. We've toed and froed as to do we support, don't we support. Well, I'll talk for myself, I suppose. And it's a tough one. We are elected by the members of the community to stand up and vote on their behalf, which we do around this table. But also the second hat comes to play, the planning authority hat, which we didn't really sign up for at the time. And I think, as Louise said before, it's something that the state should look at, to be quite honest. But we want local people to make decisions for local people. And to Councillor Dudman's point, I've looked at it too. If we knock this out and AVX appealed, that will probably get through without even having to upgrade the road potentially. What I'm looking at is the best outcome for the residents. And while the people in the supper room and the people online are going to say, no, that's crap, well, I'm sorry, but that's just the decision that I've had to make. So I certainly don't want to influence fellow councillors around there, but we've got to look at if it goes to appeal one way or the other, and we've got to look at which is the best avenue for the residents. And unfortunately, or fortunately, this is, as Councillor Dunman has alluded to, is probably the best way forward for it, from my thinking. So I'll open up for somebody else. Councillor Smedley, sorry, hand up.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. Mike, I'd just also like to acknowledge the community representation. It's been fantastic support and discussion about this matter, and also for the staff, as has already been mentioned. My concern is really for the mental health of the community. I'm really worried about that. There's obviously a lot of angst about this and this whole matter. I'm also, more importantly, concerned about the traffic safety. As we all know, any road tragedies are something that stays with the community for the rest of their life. So I'm really concerned about that as well. So that's, in the first instance, obviously, considering that as the primary consideration.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Sindhu.
Thank you, Chair. I might take that off while I'm speaking. Sorry, I won't get very much erudite or whatever commentary out of me due to my ill health. I'm sorry about that. I was determined to be here if I could be today. I had the opportunity last year to take a couple of trips to WA, and whilst I was there, availed myself of the opportunity to look into bauxite there, which is certainly on a much grander scale of extraction than it is proposed for here, but nonetheless there are some common themes and traits. And the most obvious one there is that they're extracting in the millions of tonnes a year, and they're not using the public road network in any large or meaningful way to transport that product. It is carted overland tens, hundreds of kilometres by massive conveyor belt system. The extraction points range from what I'd call forestry land that's well away from everyday people, apart from those actually working in the industry, to other areas that are large-scale farming properties that are houses a long way apart. I came across an example of an overpass on a fairly modern two-lane road that must have cost hundreds of thousands to construct this overpass, and my first thought was, there is no railway line in the area, what is it? It was in fact getting bauxite from one side of the road to the other by not interacting with the road by, you know, multi-hundred ton dump trucks using this viaduct, if you want to call it that, over the top of the road. So they've gone to extreme lengths to not interact with the actual public road network. So the roads were in quite good nick. As I say, my presentation today won't be very good, I'm sorry, because I've jumped all over the place. One of the speakers talked earlier about, you know, the incongruence of us asking for DAPs not to exist because we want the local flavour. Well, in defence of our position of that, I would suggest that as a local councillor, I live out in an area where a significant amount of gravel is taken to a whole range of farms for a range of activities, farm laneways to, you know, for dairy cows, etc. And it changes across the year from intense use, you know, multiple truck movements per hour, dog and pig trailer type thing, to just the tandem trucks. And I can cite examples where even a former councillor who had the side mirror on his truck taken off by another truck overtaking him on a dead straight bit of road, where 2 kilometres later the offending truck turned off anyway. So my local flavour in this matter is, I do, you know, whilst you can't account for the stupid, we can put in place mechanisms that, as far as we can, prevent the stupid. And in my view, the Porter's Bridge Road, one thing that we are directly assessing, I want to see a scenario that if this should go ahead, is that the road is to stand before it happens, not some version that allows something to transpire until we get it to that point. I want to see it an acceptable road standard where, as I say, we can't stop someone from crossing a road for whatever reason, but if the road is to a standard where there is the width and the shoulder strength, etc., to deal with two trucks passing each other, or the community being able to safely, be it on foot, passenger traffic, bicycle, in a car, is not going to go when they got to the other end of their journey that they do on a daily basis, go, gee, you know, I've survived again today. So my approach in this is, if I'm to support it, and, you know, we all need aluminium, and we've heard other brilliant discussion or presentations here today from various people about, you know, how much product there is out there in the world. We all need aluminium, in my view. So I can't get to make a decision on whether that site's a good site for that or not. I wouldn't want it alongside me, but that isn't what I'm going to base my decision on. I'm basing my decision on whether or not the safety of the community is compromised, and as I said at the moment, it is. And I agree with most other points that the councillors have made around the table on a whole range of things thus far. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Sindhu. Any other comments, questions, Councillor Cameron?
Thank you. Thank you. I think you did really well, Councillor Sinfield. I actually feel all the time that I jump all over the show and I don't have a cold, so well done. James, I think you've come to the meetings a few times now and you haven't said anything, but I did write your name down because I wanted to say well done. That was absolutely exceptional what you said and how you presented yourself. And, you know, I know you all said it. We feel it pretty heavy. Like, we live here, we work here, we're raising our families here. You know, please don't think that we don't feel what you're feeling. But as Councillor House said, we have this really ugly hat called a planner's hat that we have to wear, and it's actually probably not something many people in you know, are aware of when they run for council or, you know, out in the real world, what council's role actually does. But it's a really serious and a really important hat that we have to wear. And there is no such thing as a conscious vote when you have the planner's hat on. And like I've said, I do take that role very seriously. And I think the other councillors that have spoken as well, and particularly Councillor Dudman, talking about this temporary traffic plan, I am not a fan of it. I don't feel like it is going to have the outcome that the residents deserve. It is a mitigation, not a solution, and I'd be happy to support some changes of removing that soon.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other discussion, Councillors? We have a proposed alternative motion in front of us if the current motion is lost. Any other discussions before we go back to the seconder and the mover of the motion? If there is no, Councillor Cameron, anything to add? So you can second the motion, right? Councillor Loader, as the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. Like everyone sitting around this table, the elected reps, I know we've spent days and days and days studying the documentation. I know we received the written representations very nicely in a great big, what was it, on Dropbox, was it Dropbox? And I spent all Easter Tuesday, because I'm a public servant, I had a day off, reading all those representations. And it's not easy to put pen to paper and write to the council. It's not easy to get up and speak at a microphone either. So thank you to everybody who did. And I've got my notebook, my favourite pink notebook, open here. And I'm just reading down through some of the comments, and it's near miss on the bridge. Roads intended for residential and rural use. Trucks need longer stopping distances. And I could go on. I wrote down all the points with people's names, Kelly C, Wesley, Aussie and Melissa, et cetera, et cetera. I wrote their names and I wrote their little comments about the road. I cannot support this motion. I cannot. It is not safe. I don't want the scenario that Liz spoke about in her verbal representation. I don't want that to happen here. These big trucks don't mix with little cars. And I know that the only reason I survived my crash is because I had a really good car and the airbags all went off and I was safe. But if it had been a milker going to the farm to milk cows on their motorbike or someone in a little tiny bubble car, as my husband calls them, I reckon they'd be dead. And I cannot, in my all consciousness, after reading all the representations, all the documents, I cannot support this motion.
Thanks, Councillor Loder. And on the basis, then, I'll put the motion. All those in favour of the motion as it sits at the moment, please say aye and raise your hand. All those against, say aye and raise your hand. So those unanimous against the current motion. We have a foreshadowed motion. So, Councillor Dudman, your foreshadowed motion.
Councillors, it was circulated last night, and I believe that it is with the staff. I'm happy to read it if required. It is 6 pages long, but it essentially removes all references to the temporary traffic management plan and keeps the rest of the motion as it stands.
Thanks, Councillor Dudman. Councillor Dudman has moved an alternative motion. Do I have a seconder for the alternative motion? Councillor House is the alternative motion. Thank you. Just excuse me for a second. I'll just bring it up on the computer.
Councillor Dudman confirms that he's satisfied with what Hank is scrolling down, and then other councillors. Confirm their understanding of what the recommendation is being moved by Councillor Dudman.
I guess while we're waiting for that to come up, Councillor Dudman, do you actually want to talk to the motion?
She's got it.
I'm fine. Slowly redoing. Yeah, all right.
2 lines at a time.
Right. Councillor Dudman, let's move the motion.
You need a seconder first.
Oh, you've got a seconder? Yeah, right.
Look, as I said, it's an uncomfortable position to be in, but I came into this role saying I would do the best I could for this community. and this is what I believe to be the best I can achieve for this community. I'm not going to pretend that voting against this application is going to kill it, because it simply won't. But what I can do is soften the risks and the impact to the community, and that's what I believe this achieves. The TTMP, in my view, should only be pursued if it can tangibly be seen to mitigate the safety and efficiency concerns that have been brought before us, and in my view it can't. In the TTMP was designed with its inclusion to satisfy clause P1 of C3.5.1, traffic generation at a vehicle crossing, level crossing or new junction. I don't believe it can. I don't believe that we can adequately mitigate the risks of this traffic solution unless we upgrade the roads, and that's what this seeks to do. So yes, it will approve the development application, but it will ensure that no work in terms of extracting the ore and transporting it onto our roads can occur until such time as the roads are deemed safe. Now, sure, the company may well seek to stockpile the ore until such times as the road are completed. I don't see that as being something that will actually happen, because you don't usually just leave stuff sitting in a pile. You usually wait until you can get rid of it. But as I said, the traffic management plan, in my view, doesn't mitigate the risk adequately to approve it. But ensuring that the work goes in first, the roads upgrade, and AVX puts their money where their mouth is in this investment, that will ensure that we create the safest possible situation for our ratepayers, and we do so without putting a cost upon them, or a cost that's not disproportionate to the general road upgrades that we would otherwise do. So I certainly commend this motion, and I hope I will have support from my colleagues to see its success.
Thank you, Councillor Dubin. Councillor House is the second on the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Mr. Dubin, Councillor Dubin, you have my support in this matter. I said right at the start that I wouldn't support it without the works being completed prior to all that additional heavy traffic. In my view, and I think it was reinforced by the TCS report, that the original TIA was underestimated some of the traffic hazards. And I think we've all spoken today about the need to just absolutely minimise any of those traffic dangers for all road users. So is it a perfect solution? Probably not. Is it one that's going to appease everyone? I think not. However, I think it is the most reasonable approach. Let them let the proponent do the work on the roads as proposed, before any additional heavy traffic is required on those roads to extract that material.
Thanks, Councillor. House, open for discussion and questions, Councillors. Nothing? Councillor Sinville.
Barking with every lip. Yep, as soon as I start to talk.
I have clarified the version that I'm looking at had a Section 2A that under the heading of the Part 5 agreement that was crossed out, but I believe that's on the version I'm looking at, so I just want to doubly check that. So I can't give you a page reference because I don't have one.
Condition 2A, Anthea.
Condition 2A of the Part 5.
Can you show that up on the screen, please?
Agreement.
The one that I'm looking at, Councillor.
Yep, there.
Use of the road to transport materials required from the site cannot commence until the council has completed the necessary upgrades.
Yeah, no, well, on the version I'm looking at, it's got a strike through that. So I'm just confirming that is in fact still in there.
It is.
And I did have another question, which has gone out of my head as quick as it came. I guess my question is about being jointly and severally responsible for the cost. Are we convinced that, or could we get a comment about that from staff or GM or whoever as to spell it out to the community that that is in fact there, that will require one or other party, you know, the Part 5 agreement will be written and produced and promulgated and come to being in a manner that will require both those parties to be a signatory to it, I guess. If some flesh could be put around that for the community that's concerned about this matter, as much as any other reason.
Yeah,
that's right. So in this instance, the applicant for the planning application for the permit is not the owner of the land. So hence why we've introduced both the owner of the land and the applicant to be included in that Part 5, but I guess to town planner.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, my understanding is the Part 5 is registered to the property title, and that's the need for the inclusion of the property owner as well as part of that Part 5 agreement along with the operator as well.
But I guess what I'm saying is if the proponent were, you know, reneging or whatever, then it must have the acquiescence or the involvement of the property owner in there.
Yes, it would. Yes, sorry, three in this. Yes.
Okay. Councillor Temple.
As mentioned earlier today, we're asking under this the owner or operator to pay the full amount before we've assessed how much the full amount is, the quantum thereof. So it's, are they just paying a nominal sum to begin with, or?
We've seen earlier in the council meeting today that we're expecting the applicant will be bearing the majority of the cost of the required upgrades, and that a Part 5 agreement, Section 71 agreement for the Looper will be negotiated with them to reflect that. So we haven't stated a dollar value in the agreement, but that is the intention of the condition that is before council, that Councillor Dubman has moved, asking for your vote.
Question, Councillor?
Yes, the way I'm reading this, and I've lost the actual spot, but it was that the operator must pay the financial contribution, et cetera, before we even know what the sum of money is likely to be.
I can read what Councillor Dunn has moved. So, infrastructure contribution payments to the council by the owner and or operator of a one-off reasonable, equitable, proportional financial contribution that is equal to and applied by the council exclusively towards the council's reasonable cost of the design and construction of upgrades to the section of Port Street Road between Meander Valley Road and the site access that are necessary to ensure that the road can safely bear the additional heavy vehicle movements generated by the approved use and development. Payment of the one financial contribution must be made prior to the design and construction works being undertaken by council.
My quandary is, how do you know how much something is going to cost that hasn't yet been designed?
So I guess we will seek, if council is to make this decision and it passed the appeal rights process and a permit is issued, then we will seek additional information to inform what that contribution would be, Councillor. That's it.
Yeah, Councillor. Councillor Lyda.
Thank you, Mayor. A question. So if the applicant doesn't like this, they could still go back to the tribunal and say, we want to put a TTMP, and the tribunal could say, yes, you can do that.
Right? Three, yes, that's my understanding. Yes, that could happen.
Councillor Sinfield.
I just wondered if we could, to address Councillor Temple's concern, 1A at the end says payment of the one-off financial contribution must be made prior to the design and construction works being undertaken by the council. And then 2C actually sort of addresses the issue. Is there some just simple few words that might actually link those two more directly together? 2C is actually saying what the road standard has to be, 6 metre seal width, road shoulders, etc., etc. That's what will come out of the design work that you're doing in 1A. But 1A, in a sense, is it's based on not knowing what that thing should be. So I just wonder if at the end of it there's a way of linking 1A to 2C.
So if council does vote in favour of the...
No, it's the whole document.
Yep, they would be bound by both 1A and 2C, so they couldn't wipe that out. They'll be both bound by all of the conditions that are approved by council there, so I don't think it's necessary to introduce additional wording to what's said.
I've got another question.
Yeah, Councillor Sinfield's still thinking. Anything?
Oh, no, I'm raising that point, but thank you. You've got it on record tape. That's the intent that we're voting upon, is the totality of that document.
Councillor Lader.
Thank you, Mayor. So, Part A, 1, Paragraph A, what exactly does proportional financial contribution mean? Does that mean someone else is putting money into this as well, or is it just ABX?
At this point in time, it would just be ABX and council. As I mentioned earlier today, that there would be certain elements that council has an obligation to contribute to at this point. However, the majority of the costs for the upgrade will be met by the developer.
Follow up, council.
Yes, sorry, 20 questions. So council would be putting some ratepayers' money into upgrading this road in order for this development to go ahead. Is that what you're saying?
Can I
just say this is not only just for ABX, councillor. There are other people that use this road as well. So my understanding would be that there still has to be contribution from others in the community for that section of road. It's not exclusively for ABX. Correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen.
I may just pass to the planners, but I have already said earlier in the council meeting today that the overall project that we are talking about will be the works that are suggested to be required to be upgraded for the development. However, council is likely to be undertaking some associated works to improve safety, which would not relate to the development. However, we're expecting that we will take the opportunity to improve signage and to remove some vegetation, which would be done at the same time. I think I said before, at this point, if we were to have other applications, if we had several applications today that we were assessing, the Part 5A provide for the other contributions that may use the same stretch of road, but that's not the decision that's being made today. It's solely relating to the application that's before you. So,
thank you.
Any other clarification there, Councillor?
Appreciate that.
Councillor Sinfield.
I may just very briefly, the words that I was seeking have miraculously appeared in Clause 2, where it says the agreement pursuant to Section 71 of the Land Use Planning Approvals Act required by Condition 1 of this permit must, without limitation, provide for the following matters. So thank you very much for putting that in.
Thank you. Okay, councillors. Anything else? Anybody want to add anything else before we wrap up? Take that as no. Councillor House is the second of the motion.
Nothing to add.
Thank you. Councillor Dudman is the mover of the motion.
As I said, I call on councillors to support this. In my view, this is the best way we can support our community in what is a difficult decision before us. There's no doubt about that. In terms of the contributions, as has been answered, yes, we are the road authority, so it makes sense that at times there will be upgrades of this road, which would be something that we bear as a responsibility, but I think it's well understood that the vast majority of the upgrade, because it relates to the development application, will go directly to ABX as the applicant. And that is, as I said, ensuring that we have community safety and ensuring that there's no free ride in this, that we protect our community, and that we ensure that what is taken away is accounted for in the road upgrades that will be put forward. I don't believe that rejecting this application is an option because it will be easily overturned. There aren't strong grounds to reject it, otherwise I'd consider that. But what I do believe is mitigating risk, as we're doing here, is the best way that we can support the community at this time.
Thanks, Councillor Dudman. I put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. Just Johnson, Cameron, Dudman, Smedley, Sinfield, House against. Councillor Cronshaw, Temple and Loader. The motion is passed. Thank you. So Council no longer acts as a planning authority. For those who are in the supper room, you're quite welcome to leave, obviously. Those in our public gallery, if you wish to leave now, please do so before we move on to the rest of our meeting. We'll knock one over and then we'll head straight over. We'll have a break. Yep. Development Regulatory Services. Hopefully somebody's letting them out. They're not. It's fast. Half past five.
Somebody. I think Linda and Anthony are still out there.
Okay, they're still out there, sure. Right. Moving on, enemy, page 1588. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Thank you, Chair. Councillor Loader.
Everyone.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Dudman.
Sorry, what page, Mr. Mayor?
Page 1588. Councillor Loader as the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. I think the increase is fair and reasonable, and I support this motion.
Thank you. Councillor Dudman.
Just a question that will go to this and the next item. With regards to the increase in costs, which is by CCI, does that translate to, does Council make a profit out of this? Are we running at a loss? Where does that stand?
Well, two things there. The Council Cost Index, the CCI, is a hybrid inflation-based ratio from December to December. That's put... Yep, put forward. It's put out by the Local Government Association of Tasmania, so it's meant, intended to keep pace with the cost of doing business. For both the items that you have asked about, animal management and environmental health fees, both of those run at a loss, so there is a proportion of council general rate that contribute to the overall cost of delivering that, which recognises the community service rather than it being a fee for service for all for all of the people that are using that service.
Thank you. So on that basis, this does have my support. Questions are often raised about the increase in costs and whether we are making profit out of it. I think it's clear that, no, that's not the case. We are simply trying to keep up, and I'm more than happy to back this in.
Thank you. Any discussion, councillors? Take it as a no. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say, raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to page 1594, environmental health fees and charges. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to? Councillor Smedley, thank you. Councillor House, thank you. Councillor Smedley, as the mover of the motion.
Nothing at the moment.
Councillor House, as the second of the motion.
No, exactly as General Manager explained for the last item. Equally applies here.
Thank you. I'm up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Cameron.
Thanks. Just want to thank our environmental health officers. I don't think anyone really in the actually understands the amount of work they do and the important work they do, and we're really lucky to have such a good team here at council. So. Just
want to
make sure they know they're loved.
Well done. Thank you, Councillor. Agree. Any other discussion, councillors? Councillor House is the second in the Councillor Smedley. Any doubt?
Nothing.
Thank you. Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. That's unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to corporate services, which is 1599, audit panel minutes. Somebody like to know. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Second to please, Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dudman.
Thank you, Mayor. As always, it's a pleasure to serve on the audit committee. More than happy to take the minutes as read, unless there are questions.
Thanks, Councillor Dudman. Councillor Cameron.
I thank the councillors that take the time to sit on this important committee.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. Questions, comments? Okay, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. That's unanimous. Thank you.
Sorry, Councillor
Smith. Oh, you've got a conflict on this one, Councillor Smith, evidently. Thank you.
Infrastructure services.
We're on page 1615.
I think it was Ben.
Yeah, Ben.
Second it, please. Councillor Cameron, thank you. So this is Lease Prosper Grass Sports Park. Councillor Dunman has moved motion.
Engineer staff who have worked on this, it's my understanding that it is brought to us with the support of the users at the site, so we're more than happy to back them in and ensure that we keep engaging in positive behaviour out in Prospect Park.
Thank you, Councillor Dunman. Councillor Cameron?
Yeah, I'll just agree with Councillor Dunman, but it's an excellent facility and I know that we're the envy of many in the north, so thank you to all of those who work towards that.
That's good. Any discussions, comments, councillors? Councillor House?
A quick comment if I might, Mr Mayor. I live near there, as many people know, and it's just extraordinary that ground and that facility gets so much use from so many different organisations. It's rarely that I can go across there and there's not at least one or two games in play at any one time. And yes, we are the envy of the North, and I think we'd be the envy of anyone when they saw that facility that's there. So more than happy to support their ongoing commitment.
Thanks, Councillor House. You're too late, Carl. No money.
Let's make up a hard question.
Any other comments, councillors? No, reinforced what Councillor House said, what Councillor Dove and Councillor Cameron said. Great facility, great asset to the community in there. Pity it wasn't bigger, in one sense. We could fit more people there, but anyway. Any other discussion, councillors? Anything to add, Councillor Cameron?
No, thank you.
Councillor Dove, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. That's unanimous. Thank you. We're going to Edley and bring in.
Then move on to
page 1618.
See, Carl, you're nearly too late.
Thanks, Carl.
So we like to move, so we like to second. This one, please. Councillor Dunman, thank you. The second half. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Okay, Delaware Waste Transfer Facility, Councillor Dunman.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, this is obviously part of a bigger strategy that we are approaching with regard to waste. I think that the proposal before us keeps prices as reasonable as they can be. Obviously, a lot of the prices we charge are based on taxation from the state government rather than any benefit that we get at all. So I am more than happy to support the recommendation that's before us as we move into this exciting new phase of our waste management approach.
And thank you. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cameron has a second motion.
Yes, I would reiterate that. I mean, waste is an expensive operation, but I do appreciate the effort staff have gone through to try and keep these costs as low as we possibly can, and we are moving into a new phase with waste. So thank you for all the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I agree with the previous comments about this. It's great to see our municipality moving to a more modern way of dealing with waste, and hopefully people will start to think about the amount of rubbish they make and look to reducing it, which I think is the way the world needs to go. However, the vouchers, I'm very pleased to see that there'll be smaller vouchers, but I note that the amount, overall amount, is almost half of that which was last year, which causes me a little bit of concern, and I'd like to have an explanation as to why, please.
I can explain that a little bit. Maybe further questions, I guess, Councillor Loader. So last year, we provided every property owner in Mierda Valley with three vouchers equivalent to the use of a car vehicle. And this year, we're intending for that to move to be six vouchers at our new minimum of $7.20. And that'll be subject to budget discussions that the councillors are looking to pick back up in 2 weeks' time. And we will be guided by them, I guess, if there is it an intention to increase the number of vouchers above six at $7.20, then that would be likely to come at an increased cost to property owners. So that's where we currently sit. We are anticipating that our vouchers, six at $7.20, will be more well utilised by our property owners, given some of the changes also with our Cluin facility closing and an introduction of FOGO and a few other things that Council have approved in the last 4 months.
General Manager, do we know what the uptake has been of the vouchers that we've sent out in the past? Has it been 20%, 30%, 50%?
I believe it's been between 25 and 30%, is that correct?
That's correct.
A lot of vouchers out there that just don't get utilised then.
But some people use all of them.
Some people use all of them, yeah. There's an opportunity for somebody to sell their vouchers then, isn't there? I didn't say that, did I?
That's just...
Sorry.
I'll make a comment that might say that.
Okay.
It's a good reminder, actually, to... there'd be a lot of rentals in the municipality that may not receive their vouchers, but I think if the landlords are receiving multiple vouchers, it would be a goodwill if they could pass them on to their tenants to use.
Yeah. Good follow-up, come back. My mic's died, but anyway. Probably a good thing it has died.
I died it.
Anyway.
Just a question. Just with the new recycling program, I know there was a big uptake of that in the first week, I think. Although quite a few people in the local area up in Prospect Park. Can you provide any input regarding the uptake in the Deloraine area and so forth?
Can I personally say I was there the other day for a promotion for council. And while I was there, there were three cars pulled up with people that had not ever used it or sighted it before. I'm now on my L plates with it, Councillor Smedley. So you get the barcode, you get the app, you then can donate to a charity of your choosing. And speaking with Brian Watson from Lions Club, they're very happy with the amount of people that's going through there. The only thing that I can probably add for Works Department is we may need to put another bin there for people that bring the wrong container to put in, that will subsequently just leave it there and hope somebody takes it away. So just be aware that we may incur. But yeah, no, it's
pretty easy to use, Councillor.
Yeah, and I can only provide anecdotal conversation around it from people that are in and around it at the area. The Recycle Rewards Program, the container is next to our depot down in the Racecourse Precinct in Deloraine, and I think that Tom McLean, away the provider, is expecting to clean it out once every 2 days, but they were there several times a day for those first 2 or 3 days. So, yep, they were inundated and very impressed with the level of use.
Thank you.
Any other discussion, councillors, on this one? Councillor Simpson?
Yeah, this will be my crossing the Rubicon moment. Very unsupportive of this in the extreme. Never more so than any other item, I think, in 11 or 12 years on council. I think it's appalling to be charging people on a weight-based system for something they're not actually, compliant with. I think it's the wrong approach by that. I went to the tip again just to find out early last week, I think it was, got a receipt this time for waste taken. They can... as I understand it, way down to the nearest 10 kilos, and we're doing a minimum charge of less than 40. I just think that's appalling. I also think it's appalling that for some people on general waste, effectively, and it's rough because it was a density volume base, their charges roughly three times what it is now. I also note in there that taking up too much time, that, we're setting pricing must also be broadly in line with the market to avoid incentives for residents of other municipalities to use the Deloraine site. Well, as we mentioned at the workshop, one of their neighbouring councils charges triple for people who are not local residents. So there are means and mechanisms for doing that, given that it's sort of been directed at previous councils that we avoided making the
hard decisions. I suspect he is an example that in 10 years' time that might be aimed at this council for this decision. Sadly, that's my view. Very anti what's going on here, and never mind the extra vouchers. As I say, in just my case, and will be the case for many other people that only go with one bag or maybe two, then they'll have to adjust how they do it and be subject to vermin, etc., when they look after the rubbish on their own place before they get the 40 kilos or 39 to justify paying $7.20. So I think for all those reasons, I will be resoundingly unsupportive now, standing in my own paddock on this item in all likelihood. But yes, I think it's a lightweight decision by this council.
Well, thank you. So any other discussion, councillors? No? He's got nothing to add. Okay. He's got nothing to add, but he's actually walked out the door.
And he took his vote with him.
He's coming. He's coming that door. No, man, joking.
Comment, if I
might. Comment. Councillor House, yes.
Comment in general. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with Councillor Central, but just more in general. When I first got on the council, when I was contemplating council, I had a discussion with you, Mr. Mayor, and you said the biggest challenge facing the council going forward was waste. And you're a tricky word, sure is. I applaud the approach that we've taken, at least being proactive. I think the council has met this head on, whether it's university sport or not, it's not quite the issue. I think as a council, we've met the challenges head on. We talk much more strongly now about recycling. We talk much more strongly now about photo. We are being very proactive and, I think that's been a long time in the making, so I think we're on the right track.
Thank you.
Another thing I was going to say, we are a generation that creates more waste than probably any other generation before us. So we have to find ways to minimise that, and I think public education is part of that, and photos is an example, recycling is an example. I think it's a constant challenge to educate ourselves about how to best deal with waste, and I think we are getting on top of it.
Thank you, Councillor. Anything to add, Councillors? Councillor Cameron, anything to add?
Nothing.
Councillor Dunman, anything to add? Right, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
That's Johnson, Cameron, Cronshaw, Dudman, Smedley, Loader and House against Campbell and Sinfield. Thank you. Motion to close. Hang on, I've got to get my paperwork. Page 1622, somebody like to move to the closing, Councillor Cameron. Seconder on that, Councillor Loader, so you probably had your hand up, Councillor House, but I didn't say it. All those in favour, please. Aye. That's unanimous. Now let's have a quick break, and then we'll tear into close.